Buddha, or Buddha Gautama, also known as Shakyamuni Buddha, was a great spiritual master from ancient India. Born as Prince Siddhartha Gautama in 5th century BC, he would have naturally inherited the vast wealth of a kingdom. However, the prince one day left the palace life in search of spiritual knowledge. After years of contemplative seeking, the Buddha retained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree. He then shared the merits of his practice by providing a method for other sentient beings to be freed from the cycle of death and rebirth. The rich treasury of Buddha's spiritual teachings on universal truths are studied and revered to this day for their deep wisdom and compassion. Today we would like to share with you the sage teachings of the Buddha, excerpts of Chapter 3 of the Sutra of the Lotus of the Wonderful Dharma, also known as the Lotus Sutra. At that time, when the four kinds of believers, namely monks, nuns, householder men, and householder women, and the heavenly beings, dragons, yakshas, nature spirits, gandhavas, demigods, asuras, supernatural beings, garudas, wise bird creatures, kimnaras, half-human, half-bird celestial musicians, mahoragas, great serpents, and others in the great assembly saw how Shariputra received from the Buddha this prophecy that he would attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, highest perfection. Their hearts were filled with great joy and danced without end. Each one removed the upper robe that he or she was wearing and presented it as an offering to the Buddha. Shakra Devanam Indra, King Brahma, and the countless sons of gods likewise took their wonderful heavenly robes, heavenly Mandarava flowers, and great Mandarava flowers, and offered them to the Buddha.
The heavenly robes they had scattered remained suspended in the air and turned round and round of themselves. Heavenly beings made music, 100, 1,000, 10,000 varieties, all at the same time in the midst of the air, raining down quantities of heavenly flowers and speaking these words. In the past at Varanasi, the Buddha first turned the wheel of the Dharma. Now he turns the wheel again, the wheel of the unsurpassed, the greatest Dharma of all. At that time, the sons of gods, wishing to state their meaning once more, spoke in verse form, saying,
in the past at Varanasi, he turned the wheel of the Dharma of the Four Noble Truths, making distinctions, preaching that all things are born and become extinct, being made up of the five components. Now you turn the wheel of the most wonderful, the unsurpassed great Dharma, true teaching. This Dharma, true teaching, is very profound and abstruse. There are few who can believe it. Since times past, we have heard the world-honored ones preaching, but we have never heard this kind of profound, wonderful, and superior Dharma, true teaching. Since the world-honored one preaches this Dharma, true teaching, we all welcome it with joy.
Shariputra, with his great wisdom, has now received this venerable prophecy. We too, in the same way, will surely be able to attain Buddhahood throughout all the many worlds, the most venerable, the unsurpassed goal. The Buddha way is difficult to fathom, but you will preach with the expedient means according to what is appropriate. The meritorious deeds we have done in this existence or past existences and the blessings gained from seeing the Buddha, all these we will apply to the Buddha way.
At that time, Shariputra said to the Buddha, world-honored one, now I have no mere doubts or regrets. In person I have received from the Buddha this prophecy that I will attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, highest perfection. These 1,200 persons here whose minds are free, in the past they remained at the level of learning, and the Buddha constantly taught and converted them, saying, my Dharma can free you from birth, old age, sickness, and death, and enable you to at last achieve Nirvana, eternal bliss. These persons, some of whom were still learning, and some who had completed their learning, each believed that because he has shed his views of self, and also his views of existing and not existing, he had attained nirvana, eternal bliss. But now, from the world-honored one, they hear what they had never heard before, and all have fallen into doubt and perplexity.
Very well, world-honored one. I beg that for the sake of the four kinds of believers, you will explain the causes and conditions, and make it possible for them to shed their doubts and regrets. At that time, the Buddha said to Shariputra, "Did I not tell you earlier that when the Buddhas, the world-honored ones, cite various causes and conditions, and use similes, parables, and other expressions, employing expedient means to preach the Dharma, it is all for the sake of Anuttara Samyaksambuddhi, or the highest perfection. Whatever is preached is all for the sake of converting the bodhisattvas. Moreover, Shariputra, I too will now make use of similes and parables to further clarify this doctrine, for through similes and parables, those who are wise can obtain understanding."
Shariputra, suppose that in a certain town, in a certain country, there was a very rich man. He was far along in years, and his wealth was beyond measure. He had many fields, houses, and men servants. His own house was big and rambling, but it had only one gate. A great many people, 100, 200, perhaps as many as 500, lived in the house. The halls and rooms were old and decaying, the walls crumbling, the pillars rotten at their base, and the beams and rafters crooked and aslant.
At that time a fire suddenly broke out on all sides, spreading through the rooms of the house. The sons of the rich man, 10, 20, perhaps 30, were inside the house. When the rich man saw the huge flames leaping up on every side, he was greatly alarmed and fearful, and thought to himself, "I can escape to safety through the flaming gate, but my sons are inside the burning house enjoying themselves and playing games, unaware, unknowing, without alarm or fear. The fire is closing in on them. Suffering and pain threaten them, yet their minds have no sense of loathing or peril, and they do not think of trying to escape."
Shariputra, this rich man thought to himself, "I have strength in my body and arms. I can wrap them in a robe or place them on a bench and carry them out of the house." And then again he thought, "This house has only one gate, and moreover it is narrow and small."
"My sons are very young. They have no understanding, and they love their games, being so engrossed in them that they are likely to be burned in the fire. I must explain to them why I am fearful and alarmed. The house is already in flames, and I must get them out quickly and not let them be burned up in the fire."
Having thought in this way, he followed his plan and called to all his sons, saying, "You must come out at once." But though the father was moved by pity and gave good words of instruction, the sons were absorbed in their games and unwilling to heed them. They had no alarm, no fright, and in the end, no mind to leave the house. Moreover, they did not understand what the fire was, what the house was, what the danger was. They merely raced about this way and that in play, and looked at their father without heeding him.
At that time the rich man had this thought, "The house is already in flames from this huge fire. If I and my sons do not get out at once, we are certain to be burned. I must now invent some expedient means that will make it possible for the children to escape harm." The father understood his sons and knew what various toys and curious objects each child customarily liked and what would delight them. And so he said to them, "The kind of playthings you like are rare and hard to find. If you do not take them when you can, you will surely regret it later. For example, things like these goat carts, deer carts, and ox carts. They are outside the gate now where you can play with them. So you must come out of this burning house at once. Then whatever ones you want, I will give them all to you.
At that time, when the sons heard their father telling them about these rare playthings, because such things were just what they had wanted, each felt emboldened in heart, and pushing and shoving one another, they all came wildly dashing out of the burning house.
At that time, the rich man, seeing that his sons had gotten out safely and all were seated on the open ground at the crossroads and were no longer in danger, was greatly relieved, and his mind danced for joy. At that time, each of the sons said to his father, "The playthings you promised us earlier, the goat carts, the deer carts, the ox carts, please give them to us now."
Shariputra. At that time, the rich man gave to each of his sons a large carriage of uniform size and quality. The carriages were tall and spacious and adorned with numerous jewels. A railing ran all around them, and bells hung from all four sides. A canopy was stretched over the top, which was also decorated with an assortment of precious jewels. Ropes of jewels twined around, a fringe of flowers hung down, and layers of cushions were spread inside, on which were placed vermilion pillows. In addition, there were many grooms and servants to attend and guard the carriage.
What was the reason for this? This rich man's wealth was limitless, and he had many kinds of storehouses that were all filled and overflowing. And he thought to himself, "There is no end to my possessions. It would not be right if I were to give my sons small carriages of inferior make. These little boys are all my sons, and I love them without partiality. I have countless numbers of large carriages adorned with seven kinds of gems. I should be fair-minded and give one to each of my sons. I should not show any discrimination. Why? Because even if I distributed these possessions of mine to every person in the whole country, I would still not exhaust them, much less could I do so by giving them to my sons."
At that time, each of the sons mounted his large carriage, gaining something he had never had before, something he had originally never expected. Shariputra, what do you think of this? When this rich man impartially handed out to his sons these big carriages adorned with rare jewels, was he guilty of falsehood or not?
Shariputra said, "No, world-honored one. This rich man simply made it possible for his sons to escape the peril of fire and preserve their lives. He did not commit a falsehood. Why do I say this? Because if they were able to preserve their lives, then they had already obtained a plaything of sorts. And how much more so when, through an expedient means, they are rescued from that burning house? World-honored one, even if the rich man had not given them the tiniest carriage, he would still not be guilty of falsehood. Why? Because this rich man had earlier made up his mind that he would employ an expedient means to cause his sons to escape. Using a device of this kind was no act of falsehood. How much less so, then, when the rich man knew that his wealth was limitless and he intended to enrich and benefit his sons by giving each of them a large carriage."
The Buddha said to Shariputra, "Very good, very good. It is just as you have said. And Shariputra, the Tathagata is like this. That is, he is a father to all the world. His fears, cares, and anxieties, ignorance and misunderstanding, have long come to an end, leaving no residue. He has fully succeeded in acquiring measureless insight, power, and freedom from fear, and gaining great supernatural powers and the power of wisdom. He is endowed with expedient means and the paramita of wisdom. His great pity and great compassion are constant and unflagging. At all times he seeks what is good and will bring benefit to all.
He is born into the threefold world, a burning house, rotten and old, in order to save living beings from the fires of birth, old age, sickness and death, care, suffering, stupidity, misunderstanding, and the three poisons. to teach and convert them and enable them to attain an Uttara Samyak Sambuddhi, or highest perfection.
He sees living beings seared and consumed by birth, old age, sickness and death, care and suffering. Sees them undergo many kinds of pain because of their greed and attachment and striving. They undergo numerous pains in their present existence. And later, they undergo the pain of being reborn in hell or as beasts or hungry spirits. Even if they are reborn in the heavenly realm or the realm of human beings, they undergo the pain of poverty and want, the pain of parting from loved ones, the pain of encountering those they detest, all these many different kinds of pain.
Yet living beings drowned in the midst of all this delight and amuse themselves unaware, unknowing, without alarm or fear. They feel no sense of loathing and make no attempt to escape. In this burning house, which is the threefold world, they race about to east and west, and though they encounter great pain, they are not distressed by it.
Shariputra, when the Buddha sees this, then he thinks to himself, I am the father of living beings, and I should rescue them from their suffering and give them the joy of the measureless and boundless Buddha wisdom, so that they may find their enjoyment in that.
Shariputra, the Tathagata, also has this thought. If I should merely employ supernatural powers and the power of wisdom, if I should set aside expedient means and for the sake of living beings should praise the Tathagata's insight, power and freedom from fear, then living beings would not be able to gain salvation. Why? Because these living beings have not yet escaped from birth, old age, sickness, death, care and suffering, but are consumed by flames in the burning house that is the threefold world. How could they be able to understand the Buddha's wisdom?
Shariputra, that rich man, though he had strength in his body and arms, did not use it. He merely employed a carefully contrived expedient means, and thus was able to rescue his sons from the peril of the burning house, and afterward gave each of them a large carriage adorned with rare jewels. And the Tathagata does the same. Though he possesses power and freedom from fear, he does not use these. He merely employs wisdom and expedient means to rescue living beings from the burning house of the threefold world, expounding to them the three vehicles, the vehicle of the voice-hearer, that of Pratyeka Buddha, lone Buddha, and that of the Buddha.
He says to them, you must not be content to stay in this burning house of the threefold world. Do not be greedy for its coarse and shoddy forms, sounds, scents, tastes, and sensations. If you become attached to them and learn to love them, you will be burned up. You must come out of this threefold world at once so that you can acquire the three vehicles. The vehicles of the voice hearer, the Pratyeka Buddha or lone Buddha, and the Buddha. I promise you now that you will get them, and that promise will never prove false. You have only to apply yourselves with diligent effort.
The Tathagata employs this expedient means to lure living beings into action. And then he says to them, you should understand that these doctrines of the three vehicles are all praised by the sages. They are free, without entanglements, leaving nothing further to depend upon or seek. Mount these three vehicles, gain roots that are without outflows, gain powers, awareness, the way, meditation, emancipation, samadhis, and then enjoy yourselves. You will gain the delight of immeasurable peace and safety. Enlightened viewers, thank you for your gentle presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us again next Wednesday for part 3 of Buddhism's sacred scripture, the Sutra of the Lotus of the Wonderful Dharma, chapter 3. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Planet Earth, our loving home. Coming up next after noteworthy news, joyously, we wish you many blessings from the Divine.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.